word and nothing less. Amen. So as Jessica just read in the beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus is just beginning his public ministry. John has prepared the way for him and baptized him. God has pronounced him from the heavens, God's beloved son. And he has been whisked away into the wilderness for 40 days of temptation. When the temptation period is over, he moves out of the wilderness and puts the private life aside for life as a public figure. He begins by calling followers with names like Simon, Andrew, and James, and John. Soon he's teaching. Soon he's healing people, helping to get rid of the junk that's inside of folks. Soon he's showing the world the kind of authority that God has given him and that he possesses. So as we move into our passage in particular this morning from verses 29 through 39, Jesus is moving away from the temple where he's been teaching and healing folks. And he moves into the home of Simon and Andrew to rest, to eat, and to recover, presumably. But you and I both know that illness is everywhere, all the time, everywhere we go. So Jesus moves into the home of Simon and Andrew to rest, but he finds there that their mother is ill. So without hesitation, without discussion, he just goes to her and takes her hand, and just like that, he heals her. And because illness is everywhere, and because Jesus is showing his ability to heal folks, just like that, the townspeople decide to all gather at the front doorstep of Simon and Andrew's house that evening. And again, without discussion, without hesitation, and just like that, Jesus moves out to meet them, and he touches them, and speaks with authority, and heals, and heals, and heals, until the night gives way to morning. Mark doesn't tell us why. Maybe Jesus is tired. Maybe he's an introvert that needs to have some alone time. Maybe his human side is catching up with him. But we're told that he sneaks away in the morning to find solitude and a time to talk, to pray with God. It doesn't last very long. He probably needed it to last longer, but it did not last very long because the townspeople that were in need of healing were searching for him, and his followers were losing their minds trying to find him. And when they finally found him, you know what Jesus did? Just like that, he rose. Just like that, he moved back into the public square. Just like that, he launched a teaching and healing ministry around Galilee. And just like that, he watched as the crowds grew and grew and grew. It is a great way to start the Gospel of Mark. But, you know, it's kind of easy to miss this story, I think. Just another healing sequence. Just one more healing story in the midst of four or five other healing stories that are stacked up back to back in the first few chapters of Mark's Gospel. But I'm one who believes there is no such thing as just another healing story. And this one in particular is worth our time to consider, to dig a little more deeply into this morning, because I think it contains within it, beyond the details of its narrative, it contains within it a principle, a fundamental teaching about how to follow Jesus Christ. And the principle is this: serve, pray, serve. Serve, pray, serve. Serve, pray, serve. Serve, just like it's printed in your bulletins. Notice how in our passage, it begins with Jesus moving into the home of Simon and Andrew, healing their mother, and then healing all the crowds. And it ends with him by launching this teaching and healing campaign around Galilee. But right in the middle, smack dab in the middle, Jesus finds solitude and time to pray, serve, pray, serve. This is not a coincidence. This is not an accident. Mark knows exactly what he's doing. And he's using a literary device that's common in the New Testament called an inclusio. Just a great 50-cent word to mean bookends, right? Including So you have healing at one bookend, healing at another bookend, and in the middle, sandwiched between the two, is Jesus taking time to pray. He wasn't only a serving healer, he was also a prayer. And the point of this bookended structure, this inclusio that Mark is trying to make to us, is to say, look, look, look. Jesus serves and he serves and he serves, but his serving is connected to and made possible by his prayer life, the time that he takes to spend and talk with God. And the fruit that we see in Mark's gospel is excitement and crowds and changed lives and healed lives and a vital and growing ministry that's spiraling into Galilee and beyond. And the lesson for us as followers of the one that demonstrated a pattern of serve, pray, serve in his life is for us to be those who serve, pray, serve too. Which is easy to say in a sanctuary on Sunday morning and so very hard to live out, isn't it? Serve, pray, serve. I struggle with it every day. Maybe you do too. I like the idea. I love to think of myself perhaps as someone who demonstrates this Christ-like pattern of serve, pray, serve. But if I'm being honest, the pattern of my life is less serve, pray, serve, and more like serve, spend, serve. Or maybe complain, grumble, doubt. Or if somebody were to really look at my life, the pattern that I would demonstrate most strongly is probably screen time, screen time, screen time. So I don't hold myself up as some model of the pray, serve life. But I try. And in my trying, I've come across a few little tidbits that have been helpful to me in approaching this Christ-like pattern of serve, pray, serve. And they may be helpful to you too. So first, in order to help us to establish this pattern of serve, pray, serve, let's think about the serve part of serve, pray, serve. And we're all busy. We've all got so much going on in our lives. Many of us are overwhelmed or just about there. And the idea of doing one more thing makes us want to scream sometimes, doesn't it? I feel this in my life every single day. There's so many needs, there's so much I want to do, and that idea of signing up for something or adding it to my to-do list or making another commitment just fills me with terror. And so for me, developing a pattern of serving in my life isn't about joining something or adding it to my to-do list or joining one other committee. It is about cultivating a servant's heart, which I know sounds warm and squishy and like a bucket full of rainbow unicorns and entirely meaningless. But this is what I mean. That I try as I go about my life, wherever I am and wherever I'm doing, to be intentional about serving people, making good connections, healing, saying a kind word, and making the world and lives better around me. And as I go around with that intention, a trip to the grocery store becomes an opportunity to care for a salesperson who's having a difficult time. With that intention, cleaning my house, Deirdre, when I do that, cleaning my house becomes an opportunity for me to care for my family. Driving somebody is an opportunity to help someone to get where they need to go, but also a way to deepen the relationship. And so as I go about my life, I try not to add the serving as another thing on my to-do list, but to integrate it and to serve wherever I happen to be in the moment. Second, the pray part of serve, pray, serve. In my experience, most people suffer from really low self-esteem when it comes to prayer, right? Other people do it better, or they have more of faith that God hears and cares. They do it more regularly. They pray more articulately. And for many, many of us, the most dangerous, fear-inspiring question is, would you say that public prayer for us, right? It's a problem. It's anxious and awkward for so many of us. And so many of us don't pray unless we can't get out of it, like at a church committee meeting or maybe around the Thanksgiving dinner table. So Dom John Chapman, as a Benedictine priest who died in 1933. He was English. Great writer and teacher and spiritual guide in the Benedictine tradition. And he famously said, pray as you can, not as you cannot. Vocal prayers are good, but it's simply the best to stay with God. I thought a lot about those over the years, that quote, and it's inspired me to encourage all of us to do that simple thing of staying with God. Just talk to God. No magic, no special formula. You don't have to pray like somebody else. Pray like you with what's going on in your life. Talk to God about what you like, what you don't like, what you're frustrated about, what you celebrate in the car, in the shower, at the dinner table, while you're taking a walk. Just stay with God and share with God the fullness of your life. And soon other people will look at you and say, she's got a prayer life. So putting those together then, the question becomes for us, not only how to serve where we are, not only how to pray like we can, but how to develop that into a Christ-like pattern of our life. And here's the best news of all this morning. You don't have to do anything. Because as you begin to serve where you are and pray as you can, the pattern will just develop of serve, pray, serve, pray, serve, pray. You can join me. Serve, pray, serve, pray, serve, pray, serve, pray. It becomes not something you do, but something that you are. You know, like Jesus. So I'll end just by saying this. I should say this every Sunday. Don't trust what I said. Don't take my word for anything, please. But test what I've said. Try in your own life to do the simple things of serving where you are and praying as you can. And see what fruit develops. See how your life has changed. See how the lives of those around you are changed. And to see what pattern is established in your life. In Christ's name.